We'll commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of September 8, 2007, this is the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This is the second of a series of programs we're excerpting from the 2007 Dayton Hamvention Live Town Hall Meeting. This week's topic is the necessity of regulating the ham bands by bandwidth, a talk given by CQ and CQ VHF Magazine's editor, Rich Mosesen, W2VU. Here's forum moderator Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
If ham radio is going to truly become a digital service, it's not likely to happen immediately, and it's not going to happen under the current paradigm where modes are segregated by subbands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To make way for digitalization, we need to adopt a very controversial system. If anybody is in ham radio, you know this is controversial. It's something called regulation by bandwidth, or rules that cover signals by bandwidth rather than by being segregated into specific modes. I asked Rich Mosesen, W2VU, who's the editor of CQ Magazine, to tackle this very controversial subject. As you know, the ARL withdrew its petition, but it's going to come, I think, eventually, one way or another. So, Rich, why don't you come up here and make everybody mad?
Here's the reason we need regulation by bandwidth. I've operated the AOR system. I operate D-Star. When you listen on an analog receiver to a digital voice signal, it sounds like this. At about S9, if it's a good, strong signal, you can't carry on an analog conversation right next to it. Not easily. Another problem is when you're listening in digital mode, this is what an analog signal sounds like. So you can't hear whether you're interfering with someone if you're operating digital voice. If you're operating analog, you just have this block of noise that takes up 3.5 kilohertz. Right now, there's not enough penetration of digital voice and amateur radio on the HF bands, at least, for it to be a big problem. Most of the digital voice operation occurs in fairly close proximity to the slow scan TV people. Also, their signals sound like... If you're operating about that area of 20 meters, you're expecting to hear funny sounding signals, and you move around them. But as it grows, and it will grow, there's really no doubt about that, it's going to take up more space. More people are going to take up more space. And there's going to be interference problems, particularly because you can't hear each other. So you don't know if you're causing interference. And believe me, an analog signal is going to cause interference to a digital signal as well. So if you're 500 hertz down from the edge of this digital signal and you get on with a kilowatt of single sideband or CW, you're going to degrade the digital signal to the point where it falls apart. And there is no almost there on a digital signal. It's either there or it's not. Or that's what a digital signal that isn't quite there sounds like. The decoder is trying to pull something out of the noise. It gives you strange sounding things. So obviously, this is going to create a problem down the road. Another interesting situation that we've encountered as this has started to become part of amateur radio is that the old definitions of what is a mode don't necessarily apply anymore. For example, if you're using digital voice, what is it that you're transmitting over the air? Is it a voice signal? Is it a data signal? And this matters because, for example, there are some people who are operating digital voice on 30 meters, which is supposed to be a CW and data only band. But you know what? It's legal because the voice part is only at your microphone and at the speaker on the other end. What's in between and what's going out on the air is a data signal, which is perfectly legal on 30 meters. It's a wide data signal. It's a 3.5 kilohertz wide data signal. It's a very narrow band. And I don't think that it's a good thing for people to be operating with 3.5 kilohertz wide signals on a band that's only 50 kilohertz wide. But without regulation by bandwidth, there's really nothing anyone can do about it because it's a data signal that's being transmitted. When you shift to bandwidth regulation rather than mode regulation, then you can start to keep things a little more orderly. If you say that you can transmit any mode you want, as long as the bandwidth of the signal is less than 1.5 kilohertz, then that digital voice signal is not going to be allowed there, whether it's data or voice or anything else. And if you say you can go to 3.5 kilohertz, well, then you can have traditional analog voice, single sideband voice, or digital voice, or slow scan TV, or anything else that's currently out on the HF bands, except for things like AM, which is a wider signal, or a mode that's gaining some popularity among people who enjoy good audio but are not necessarily interested in operating AM, something called ESSB, enhanced single sideband, which is wider than a standard sideband signal but narrower than an AM signal. And you have another mode called ISB, independent sideband, which also has very little use at the moment but could come back. It's used with primarily with slow scan TV in order to send voice on the same signal and the same frequency at the same time as your television signal. And it's probably going to come back into greater use as we get into, again, more digital. You have a quadrature modulated signal, then you can send your video this way and your audio this way, and both signals get through. But again, it's wider than a standard single sideband signal.
You're listening to an excerpt from the 2007 Dayton Hamvention Live Town Hall Meeting Forum, a beginner's look at the digital future of amateur radio. We're listening to an excerpt from a talk by CQ and CQ VHF Magazine's editor, Rich Mosesen, W2VU. We'll be right back after I remind you that The Rain Report is available as a free weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com and telephonically at 773-358-7845. Thanks to Uttle Systems. That's 773-358-7845. This is The Rain Report.
All of these things are going to conflict with each other. The bands are not getting any bigger. We're hoping that the operator base is getting bigger, and the early indications over the course of this year are that it is significantly. So we're going to have more people on the air, and they're going to be using all sorts of different modes, and we want to encourage people to use different modes, to experiment with different things. So we need to find a way to minimize the interference that's going to result and to minimize the confusion. Because it's not only digital voice, but other digital video that is a question. Is it a television signal? Is it image? Is it data? Same thing. There are areas on the HF bands where you're allowed to send image as well as phone, and areas where you're not allowed to send image, but you are allowed to send data. But if you're sending a digital image file, again, it's data being transmitted, you can go down into the CW and data bands and send a digital file that on the other end is going to be translated into a picture. The confusion and the uncertainty of what constitutes what mode is only going to expand as we go on. So regulation by bandwidth is a way to approach this to at least keep different signals of different sizes separate from each other. And so you have areas where the narrower bandwidth signals are protected from the wider bandwidth signals. In my view, this has to be coupled with very strong band planning. And in the comments that we filed with the FCC on the now withdrawn ARRL proposal for regulation by bandwidth, we stressed that need, that the FCC needs to do with band planning on HF what they've done with repeater coordination on VHF, where they've said that it's not required, but it's highly recommended. If one person who's operating a repeater that's coordinated and one person who's operating a repeater that's not coordinated are interfering with each other, the one who is not coordinated will have to resolve the problem. And we need to do the same thing with band planning on HF when we go to regulation by bandwidth. We have to have strong band plans. And if you are not in adherence to the band plan and you are causing interference, then it will be your responsibility to resolve the interference. They have to work together. So I think that regulation by bandwidth will be back. It's something that is going to be necessary for our future. The petition that was filed by the League was flawed. The opposition to it that resulted in its being withdrawn was equally flawed. And we need to get everybody together on the same page to come up with something that's acceptable to the greatest number of people for it to help plot our future. One quick thing before I close that I disagree with what Bill said before. He was talking about all the things that you'll be able to do in the future, half of which you can already do right now, by the way. On D-Star, you can put in somebody's call sign and it'll find him wherever he is if he's logged on someplace. We do care about how it works. We will care about how it works. And that is what has always separated us and will always separate us from the communications or electronics consumer. How it works is as important to us as how to work it. Both are equally important to hams. And I think that's always going to be that way.
That was Rich Mosesen, W2VU, editor of both CQ and CQ-VHF magazines, discussing his thoughts about the future of necessity of regulating the ham bands by bandwidth. We excerpted his talk given during the 2007 Dayton Hamvention Live Town Hall meeting. As a completely unrelated note, be advised that as of September 14th, the FCC will be allowing the highly controversial IBOC technology to be transmitted 24/7 on the sidebands of commercial broadcast stations, forever destroying AMDXing as we have known it since the inception of commercial radio. So enjoy it while you can, for a few more days anyway. Fred Vobey, WABE, is a vocal opponent to IBOC. We'll hear from him in part 3 of our continuing Digital Futures series next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2007 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, wishing you all very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com